tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. I'm Kenny Shook.
Estás en Cancún.
Porque soy militante global y crítica, y no creo en diversiones. Eso es para los fresas.
Entonces, ¿tú eres uno de esos locos de mente que vienen a arrasar con la ciudad?
Al contrario, es la OMS que quiere destruir todo.
Pero, ¿que no el libre comercio es bueno para Cancún?
No, mi chavo. El libre comercio solo es bueno para los dueños extranjeros de los hoteles. Los de la OMC son activistas también, pero ellos trabajan para concentrar la riqueza en pocas manos a costa de muchos.
¡Órale! Eres muy apasionada.
¡Claro! Todas las mexicanas somos muy apasionadas.
Entonces, ¿por qué usas una plaza montaña?
Porque no quiero terminar toda chamuscada.
Creo que yo tengo mucho de aprender sobre el capitalismo global.
People's Tribune Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also publishes the newspaper, People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo. Ordering and contact information will be provided at the end of the program. While the World Trade Organization ministerials were giving space to many wealthy nations, alternative teach-ins and panels were being held all around Cancun. Mike Thornton covers one particular session held by the International Forum on Globalization, at the Teatro Cancun in La Zona Hotelera.
The IFG is made up of a group of internationally known authors, activists, and intellectuals who've been battling corporate-led globalization for years. One of the people who qualifies in all three of those categories is Dr. Vandana Shiva.
The World Trade Organization, the corporations that use it as their unilateral instrument, the countries and powerful countries that support this unilateralism, would love to have their version of the story as the only version that's told, that World Trade Organization rules are removing poverty, increasing prosperity in the third world, when we know in our experience they're creating poverty, they're annihilating our farmers, they are depriving us of our fundamental rights to our seeds, our biodiversity, our knowledge, our water. And I'm here to make sure that the pain, the tragedy, the genocide that's on is there as a counter. I'm here as a witness of the devastation this institution has caused. And I'm here to offer solidarity to movements that are fighting against it. The main things that will be going on at the meeting will be the overt speeches of ministers and behind the scene threats, blackmails, bribes to split the group of 20 that has organized to challenge the U.S. position in the WTO and agriculture. The U.S. managed to get Europe on board to pretend to have an agreement when at the same time the U.S. is suing Europe on the GMO issue. So they pretend to be making peace when they're actually making war. What will go on behind the scene is basically countries will be offered false promises once again in order to make, create markets for the Cargills and the Conagras and the Monsantos. We see the U.S. administration and the U.S. trade representative and the WTO as nothing but arms of the global gene giants and the global grain giants.
Ann Veneman is saying in the meeting today, as she was saying in the meeting in Sacramento, California, that biotech and genetically engineered food is necessary to feed the world so people won't be starving.
I would like Ann Veneman to visit the farms where the genetically engineered cotton in India totally failed, leaving farmers with losses of ₹1 billion. I'd like to take her to the poor state of Bihar, where Monsanto's corn totally failed, leaving farmers there with losses of ₹4 billion. I'd like to take Ann Veneman to the homes of farmers where there have been suicides because the false promises of these corporations have trapped farmers into debt, left them with totally unreliable seed, losses of ₹6,400 per acre instead of the ₹10,000 per acre promises, yields of 200 kilograms instead of the 1,500 kilograms. The reality is very, very different. Globalized agriculture, corporate control agriculture is creating starvation, it's pushing our farmers to suicide, and it is destroying the capacity of the world to produce food. Everywhere in the world, food production is on a decline. And normally when food production is on a decline, prices should rise for farmers. But prices are also on a decline because these corporations control the market and want to buy cheap. Our calculations show that this trade system with Ann Manaman and Zolik are pushing in the name of third world farmers and our poverty is actually robbing Indian farmers in seven commodities alone of 1.2 trillion rupees, $26 billion annually in terms of lost incomes, which means increased poverty.
The IFG is made up primarily of the elite of the worldwide anti-corporate globalization movement, and in some areas is criticized for not having enough connection to grassroots movements. But that didn't stop Mexican authorities from attempting to derail the IFG's day-long teach-in event at the Teatro Cancun. Jerry Mander, himself an internationally renowned author and activist, is the president of the International Forum on Globalization.
In the first hour of our event this morning, the roads were blocked by the police on both sides, that is to say about 2 kilometers in one direction and about 2 kilometers in the other direction. And buses could not get through, and whatever vehicles did get through were not allowed to stop here. And mysteriously, also, some very odd thing happened, which was that the local Cancun radio, kept carrying announcements that our teach-in had been canceled and not to go there. And so the gigantic turnout we expected from the local campesina community and the indigenous community was, by the time we could get the word back out that that's not true, and by the time the roadblocks stopped, we lost a lot of our audience, and I feel like that's really tragic. I mean, we had a good day, and a pretty good crowd, you know, did build later when the roads opened again, but it really took a bite out of things, and it was very depressing. And we don't know, we'd love to know where that instruction came from. The event itself was a success, and we did get an audience finally, but you know, big part of the day was people weren't able to see a big part of the day. It was terrible.
I'm Mike Thornton. The anti-corporate globalization movement is truly diverse. In addition to the International Forum on Globalization, there are literally thousands of non-governmental organizations or NGOs from all around the world. There are street activists, indigenous people, and campesinos. Global Exchange is another internationally known organization that fights for social and economic justice around the world. One of the things that I learned on the GX Reality tour was that many of Mexico's small farmers are working to defend their agricultural practices. This includes some very creative organic farming and the work of campesino organizations like UNORCA.
We're in the state of Quintana Roo, in the town of Carrillo Puerto. We're at the main offices for this state of the UNORCA, and the UNORCA is the national organizations of regional campesino farmers in autonomous regions.
And they're gathering here to have their own sort of alternative WTO meeting.
This is correct. Today's particularly, it was a workshop for a few of the different commissioners of their ejido land holdings to come and learn a little bit more about how to work with their products in a more fair trade, more alternative manner. They are also gearing up for the big protest and the big campesino farmers forum that's going to be happening in Cancun.
Most campesino farmers are against an increase in globalized trade or an increase in the powers of the WTO?
Definitely, because most of these people that you'll see here are all small producers and don't have the capital to compete with the other actual major organizations that are out there, the ones that actually have a lot of clout within the WTO and actually have a lot of the regulations pushed towards their side. The right side of the party is looking at possibly putting out an article that might dissuade campesinos from coming and participating in it, kind of a fear tactic of sorts. And it is something that they do really think about because in the end, they're the ones that actually do have to stay here and live here and work with here. But there is a lot of hope and there is a lot of trust in that by organizing in this manner, they will be strong enough to stay together and stay strong and really achieve their goals.
That's Claudia Rodriguez, one of our guides and interpreters, talking with a BBC reporter. The BBC reporter joined us on our trip to the Mayan zone, located some 250 kilometers outside of Cancun. And while many Mexican nationals are afraid to protest because of the fear of possible government reprisal, UNORCA was urging its members to participate in the grand march to protest the World Trade Organization. UNORCA is part of Via Campesina, the largest peasant and farmer organization in the world. The South Korean Farmers Organization, of which Lee Kyung-hai was a member, is also part of Via Campesina. Mr. Lee committed suicide by stabbing himself in the heart in order to protest the World Trade Organization meetings on the opening day of the Fifth Ministerial. With his act, Lee Kyung-hai put a human face on the issues being debated and demonstrated against here in Cancun. Members of UNORCA would help to lead an over 5,000-person march to protest the World Trade Organization made up of campesinos from all over Mexico and beyond. It was rumored that police agents were infiltrating almost every counter WTO activity that was taking place. Police were patrolling the streets of Cancun day and night, and at kilometer zero, I saw at least one federal police officer videotaping protest participants. I asked Claudia Rodriguez about the possibility that these folks were facing possible retribution after the World Trade Organization meetings were over.
In more rural areas, that ramification can actually be something that's really real, because again, it's not a place where you have a lot of media attention and a lot of folks kind of looking at you. You can look at just the example of Chiapas that, you're in a rural area, but there's a lot of world focus on what's going on in Chiapas, so folks are a little bit more open to be able to participate without really feeling a backlash. In other places, like here in Cancun, that does not have much of a social NGO or organizational support, it might get a little bit more interesting. We hope that won't be the case, but it's something that does actually have to be considered.
You're listening to People's Tribune Radio correspondent Mike Thornton covering the WTO Fifth Ministerial.
The ejido system is a system of collective land ownership, and these ejido deeds are handed down from generation to generation. It's on these ejido lands that these farmers, whose primary language is Mayan, not Spanish, work to feed their families, assist each other, and grow crops to market to the outside world. Through Tara, another interpreter, a representative of UNORCA, talks about the organization and literally its philosophical roots.
Miembros de la Organización Mundial del Comercio y aquí en el estado de Quintana Roo se asienta en estas oficinas que se encuentran aquí. Se asienta la base principal de la UNORCA, de la Unión Nacional.
Good afternoon. I would like to introduce myself. I am the engineer Marcelo Carrion Mundo. And we here at UNORCA are members of, working in the commercial world. This is our principal base here, and we are known as the National Union of Regional Autonomous Campesinos. This organization was started 20 years ago, and it was started in order for us to be able to organize and work together better to preserve our natural resources and conserve our biodiversity. And this is to ensure that we would always be able to be fed by the forest where we get our food. We also work to receive prices at a fair wage. And we're here organizing and working together to learn new things and to interchange our experiences. We have been affected, and the campesinos have been affected, by institutions and people interested in primarily exploiting campesinos and taking us for granted. But now, through UNORCA, we are better prepared, and we're able to organize ourselves in a more efficient manner so that we can now work for our own interests. This list here is a list of the 35 communally owned lands that we have in the organization. And the majority of these ejidos are indigenous. The projects that we have are animal production, handwork and craft production, agricultural production. We also do projects with women. And working with elders. We also work with students in these communities as well. And these communities, through NORCA, are learning how they can best use and manage their resources and get the most from their own lands and learn to be more self-sufficient, taking the resources that they have and then inverting it back within their own community economy. Some of the other work that we're doing with NORCA and with the technical advisors that work with us are reforestation projects and forest evaluation projects to determine the amount of ecological impact that these forests have had, as well as how can we evaluate better and assess at the state our forests are at, and how much, in turn, we're able to harvest from our forest in a more sustainable manner. We also are working with the women to integrate them and to also promote their importance in the household and community economies through these projects. Here again, we're returning back to the tree. And as you can see, the root part is really strong. This is our general scheme for work that we would like to be taking part of. And you can see that here the roots need to be strong in order to sustain the rest of the tree. And again, we are looking at the different components that make up the roots. Is we need to have studies and research done in conjunction with the technical advisors that work with us. We also need to be trained at how we can do our own investigations. We are being trained in ways that we can better use our lands. There's also the diffusion and communication, not only to get our word out, but between our communities as well, so that we can network better and strengthen our bases. We also are working on organizing and planning and administration. We're also working on commercialization of our products, where the producer is not only producing, but that he is given the tools so he can commercialize his product as well and get a fairer price. And also looking for funding and projects that we're looking for funding and projects that would be more sustainable.
Under a blazing sun and in the hard scrabble earth, the farmers of this ejido, known as Ishmaben, work organically to grow several crops. One of those crops, pitaya, takes as long as 3 years to produce fruit. Pitaya, also known as dragon fruit, is one of the crops that brings much-needed currency into this community. These farmers are also working in the forest to produce numerous products, including wood, medicine, and chewing gum resin known as chicla. They're also working on developing a program of ecotourism. These people work extremely hard and are faced with almost insurmountable competition coming from foreign-based transnational corporations. They're also faced with a government that wants to move away from the ejido land system to a privatization model, and an encroaching modern civilization that's shredding the traditions by which they've lived for generation after generation. I'm Mike Thornton. There were numerous acts of civil disobedience in Cancun during the World Trade Organization meetings. These included about 30 naked people spelling out no to the World Trade Organization on one of Cancun's white sand beaches, bobblehead puppets of world leaders having a food fight, and the destruction of a Pizza Hut restaurant on Avenida Tulum in the city's El Centro section. It also included two separate incidents of blocking Kukulkan Boulevard, the main road serving the Zona Hotelera. In the first blockade, about 100 demonstrators closed down the road directly in front of the convention center where the WTO meetings were being held.
Libertad! 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 This is what democracy looks like! This is what democracy looks like.
Protesters held Kukulkan Boulevard for several hours before negotiating a settlement with police which would allow them to leave peacefully and avoid arrest. The second attempt to blockade Kukulkan Boulevard elicited a very different response from police. When members of the South Korean contingent attempted to block another section of Kukulkan Boulevard, police immediately began dragging them violently out of the street. And anyone who was in the way was apparently an open target for police as well, including this reporter.
Don't call me.
Here.
No.
Here.
I'm a...
Here.
No,
no,
here.
You're not
No, I'm just a reporter. I'm trying to do my job.
Please,
you know?
Please, go
here.
You know?
Go where? I'm just trying to do my job.
Luckily for everyone, higher authorities arrived on the scene quickly and told frontline officers to back off and allow the situation to cool down. Tensions were clearly rising on the street and inside the Cancun Convention Center as well.
You are tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. Mike Thornton is sharing with us the different people who took part in the speaking out against the World Trade Organization's fifth ministerial in Cancun, Mexico, September of 2003.
Once again, protesters made their way into the WTO meetings being held at the Convention Center in Cancun, Mexico. Sunday, September 14th, during a press conference being held by U.S. trade representatives, almost everyone was taken by surprise hearing that the fifth ministerial meetings of the World Trade Organization had collapsed.
That the whole ministerial has
collapsed.
The whole.
So congratulations.
Who is walking out now?
ACP.
ACP, they're, the whole delegation
They say that we are not ready to discuss.
Okay.
What is India's position? Do you know that?
India's position is very clear. No Singapore issues. India wants agree to issue to be dropped.
The African and Caribbean countries have pulled out of the negotiations.
For clarity, this fifth ministerial meeting of the World Trade Organization is over.
Chairman of the World Trade Organization meetings, Luis Ernesto Derbez of Mexico, announced that the talks had collapsed. The WTO meetings collapsed because the poor countries of the world said they were tired of being pushed around by economic giants like the European Union and the United States. Eamon Courtney is the Minister of Foreign Investment and Trade for the country of Belize.
It's not a place where we have been able to find this development, the economic advancement that was promised to us. We have therefore come to Cancun as we came to Doha to insist on a development engine to our economic progress. And we have arrived at the point, having analyzed the previous or the present ministerial text, that it is not in our interest.
You also asked the gathered audience to stand in memoriam of Lee Kyung-ha, who lost his life here earlier protesting the World Trade Organization. Can you speak more to your thoughts about what he did?
It is a very sad event. And what I try to say is that the WTO, which includes all the members as well as the organization itself, must come to understand that when we sit in Geneva or we sit anywhere in Cancun for that matter, at the end of the day, we're talking about the livelihood of the average person around the globe. We can live and sit in fancy hotels, we can go to nice dinners, but at the end of the day, if we do not advance the cause of the poor, our work will not be a success. And so I thought that even though we had marked the passing of the second anniversary of September 11th and the passing of the Foreign Minister of Sweden, indeed, the more important issue is the dispossessed. And his death, I thought, symbolized in the most stark way the divide between the rich and the poor, between the developed and the developing. And I hope that with some focus on what had happened there, those who, if I would describe them as being insensitive, will understand that there are many inside this conference as well as those outside this conference who are not happy with what has happened and what they're trying to do. And we are marking a line in the sand at this conference. They have a political mandate and so do we. But we also have an international and a humanitarian agreement, which is that those who are least off must be made better. And that is where I think the entire thinking and philosophy of the developed world is starting to be injected into the WTO and the multilateral system. And we have to insist on the social dimension, the consciousness that must temper the market forces, that tempers the economic powers. We are trying to bring that dimension to the forefront because we, as I said, we have witnessed it in bananas, we're about to witness it in sugar, and the signs on the horizon are not good unless we establish a human face to the WTO.
All right.
Maud Barlow with the Council of Canadians. Maud, you're very happy. Lots of people are very happy in here today. What happened and why and what does it mean?
What happened today was that the South, the developing countries, plus global civil society worked together to formally reject the model. This is not like Seattle, although there are shades of it, but in Seattle, there were technicalities they got hung up on. In Doha, they got railroaded. Here, what happened is historic because they rejected the model. And that's, I really want to say that's the most important thing that happened here. They're not going to be able to get together and start off again business as usual. It isn't going to happen. What we have here is a total, complete disagreement about where the world's going. And the next time they meet, the United States and Canada and Europe are going to have to eat humble pie big time. They're going to have to start caring about livelihood, survival of farms, food security, clean water, delivering health care to people, and they're going to have to just tell their corporations to go chill out because this model for their corporations was rejected by the whole world, and that's the victory. The victory isn't for us. The victory is for the people of the world who are going to sleep better tonight because this model, this inhumane model, was rejected. They're not going to give up, of course. They're going to go to their bilaterals or their regional agreements like the Free Trade Area of the Americas. But, you know, a lot of the countries that led this rejection are the same countries they have to negotiate with in Latin America. So it's not going to be so easy. I think there's going to be a new respect for what we've all been saying. I already feel it from the mainstream media. They're saying, wait, this feels different, you know. So it's very, very, very exciting what's happened here. And I think it gives a whole new meaning to the concept that another world is possible. I mean, that's not just rhetoric. This world's collapsing. Another world really is possible.
The times are ripe for change. As Maud Barlow sums up this opportunity, the World Trade Organization's fifth ministerial fell on its face. It was the poor people of the world who deny the WTO's economic model. Similarly, it is the poor people of global society who must be at the heart of creating a better world. The WTO fifth ministerial was a failure to the wealthy of the Western world, but those who failed will return. Noel Beasley sums up the role of the WTO as being designed to serve and protect. It serves the capitalist system and protects private property of the transnational corporation and of the wealthiest individuals. It promotes myths and lies about so-called free trade while driving down the wages and living conditions of the majority of humanity. With this in mind, in the U.S., over 31 million people go hungry every day. The time is now for our poor and the thousands seeking to buck the system in their interest to come together. The future is up to us. That is it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. PTR is produced by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society, aiming to unite the strivings of the people against injustice with the consciousness needed to guarantee the outcome that is in the interest of all humanity. If you would like to contact the League for our other print and media resources, speakers, or to donate to People's Tribune Radio, you may call 1-800-691-6888. The number once again, 1-800-691-6888. Also, if you have access, visit us on the web at www.lrna.org. I'm Kenny Shook, and on behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, I would like to thank you for listening. Also, we hope you join us next time for another edition of People's Tribune Radio.